This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
Good morning, everybody. Matt Bubala in for Steve Cochran today. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's a beautiful morning here on Michigan Avenue. Dave Ennett and Andrea Darlis alongside. Mary Vandeveld up in traffic. Steve Grzanich in the newsroom. Mike and Mary behind the glass. Dave, real quick before we start getting into new stuff here. Joakim Noah is going to sign for $18 million
That's
a
the
year.
Word. Yeah, $18 million.
Has Phil Jackson spent a little bit too much time, you know, in like rural settings with things that grow out of mushrooms? I'm sorry, but $18 million, it's great and all. Good for Joakim, great guy.
Yep.
Oh, loved him absolutely. As a bull, and good for him that he's getting a payday. But he barely played at all last year. He's really kind of, you know, breaking down over
last
the last
couple of
years
he's dealt with a lot of injuries. But I think the feeling is that he provides not only some veteran presence and an inside presence for them, but he also gives them – little bit of chemistry because he and Derrick Rose are close. Apparently he and Carmelo Anthony are close. It does seem like kind of a reach at the age of 31 with his recent spate of injuries to shell out that kind of money, especially when it takes you out of maybe going after one of the top free agents out there like Kevin Durant because you're not going to have money left to pay somebody like that, and maybe they know he's not coming anyway.
And especially because these deals are usually not a one-year or two-year deal. This is probably a 4, 5, 6-year deal.
You would think.
Which means he'll be 36, 37. He's having trouble staying healthy now at 31.
But then sometimes guys just go through a run of bad luck, and he is a hard worker.
Yeah.
So you would think he's going to work really hard to get into the best shape he can, and good luck to him. I mean, he was a guy who gave a lot to this community. And I think he was an upstanding citizen, and wish him well in New York.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to follow. We'll talk more about that later on in the show. Right now, joining us live from Jerusalem, it's Molly Hunter with ABC News. Good morning, Molly. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine here.
Thank you very much for jumping on the phone. We wanted to check in on the latest on the bombing the other day at Ataturk Airport in Istanbul. What's the latest news you're following over there?
Well, the investigation is in full swing about 2 days after the attack. So investigators are poring over surveillance video, witness statements, cell phone videos, anything to give them some clue as to who these attackers are. We've seen the face of at least one of the attackers, maybe a small shot of another attacker in that airport surveillance video. So while they're doing that, Turkish police are rounding people up. So there have been 16 raids in Istanbul alone, 13 people arrested, 3 foreigners in Istanbul, as well as 9 people arrested in another Turkish city called Izmir. So Turkish authorities are reacting, but there's no real direction. There's very little information coming out. And we still have no claim of responsibility yet for that Tuesday night attack.
Yeah, ISIS has not claimed any responsibility for this. Nobody has stepped forward. So is the thinking now this could be just somebody copying or inspired by ISIS, or could be some other reason altogether?
I think the assumption remains that this was ISIS. So Turkey has suffered from about 8 terrorist attacks in the last year. 4 major attacks in Istanbul, and many of which have been blamed on ISIS, but ISIS has not taken credit. In Turkey, ISIS has a lot of networks that are operating at very high levels in Turkey. So supplies, people, money, all flow through Turkey to Syria, and this does have the hallmarks, as the CIA director Brennan said, of an ISIS attack. It hit a high value target. They knew they were going to get civilian casualties. Hopefully international tourists or travelers. This was not a military target. This was clearly a civilian target. And not to mention it damaged a faltering tourism industry, a faltering economy. These are all strategic goals for ISIS. ISIS sees Turkey as being too un-Islamic, too close to the West. So as Turkey cracks down internally, ISIS certainly wants to destabilize its northern neighbor, but doesn't necessarily gain anything from claiming this attack. Everyone assumes it's ISIS. And they'll probably move on from this. Who knows? We may actually hear from them in the next 24 hours. But I would not be surprised if we don't. And Turkish authorities say, you know, this was ISIS. We're moving on and we'll continue our crackdown.
CNN is just reporting now that a Turkish official has told CNN that the men who carried out the terror attack were from Russia, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan. So that's a very surprising twist, I think, in this. And I've not heard much in most of our terror attacks about anybody coming from the Russian area.
Now, there have been a lot of reports all morning in Turkish media that these were Chechen fighters. So not necessarily kind of from Moscow, but from the separatist region of Chechnya. And we know there are a lot of foreign fighters who are fighting for ISIS who are from Chechnya. Now, we, ABC News, has not confirmed the identities of these attackers, but Turkish security sources have been leaking to state media all morning that actually there may be as many as 7 attackers that came from Syria. So we know that tens of thousands of foreign fighters have made their way from Europe into Syria through those porous borders, many of whom have come actually through Ataturk Airport. So it wouldn't be altogether surprising if they were Chechenian. We don't have that information yet, but we're certainly hunting that information down, and we'll update as soon as we get it.
We appreciate it. We'll keep following you all morning long. Molly Hunter from ABC News. You can follow her at Molly M. Hunter.
Never go to the window. Never look behind the curtain. And that is where our story begins.
The BFG, the Big Friendly Giant. When I saw the title BFG, I didn't know what to make of that. But it is a children's movie. Joining us on the phone right now is our overnight sensation, Nick DiGilio, to chat about the movies coming out this weekend. Good morning, Nick.
Morning.
I always, when I hear Steve and I hear you on an hour after your show ends, I always think, how does Nick pull that off? Because you got to be tired when you hit 5 a.m., aren't you?
No, I don't go to bed till almost noon.
Oh, do you really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's my sleep schedule goes into the evening. So
excellent. So yeah. The BFG, is that one of the bigger openings this weekend?
It's probably the biggest one of the weekend. The other one being, you know, I mean, there are 3 big ones opening this weekend. But I think because it's a Spielberg movie and because it's a fantasy and it's aimed at kids and stuff like that, this will probably be the big one at the box office this weekend. I've heard mixed things. It's based on a book by Roald Dahl. Roald Dahl, most people know, great, crazy, imaginative writer who was responsible for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and stuff like that. I hear mixed things about it, though. Even I have a friend who's a colleague who's a huge Steven Spielberg fan. He's such a big Spielberg fan. He liked The Terminal. That's how much of a Spielberg fan he is. And he was mixed on this one.
Is Spielberg, Nick, you feel like is in a big rut?
No, I don't think so. You know, the last couple of movies, I mean, he did release the Tintin movie, and he released War Horse. Those were kind of weak. But, you know, I mean, the guy's responsible for a lot of classic movies. I'm not the biggest Spielberg guy in the world. I run hot and cold on him. But I'm a big fan of Roald Dahl. I think he's a tremendous writer and has written some of the weirdest and craziest stuff. And I think a lot of the people who are having some issues with this movie is because Spielberg didn't really Spielberg it. He didn't make it, you know, sweet and everything. It's very much like a Roald Dahl story, which is kind of off-putting and kind of weird. Yeah. So I think that's one of the things. But Mark Rylance he plays the big giant, and he won the Academy Award earlier this year for supporting actor for the last Spielberg movie, The Bridge of Spies.
Yeah.
So,
which was a great movie. You're right. You're right. So maybe he's not in a rut. The next big movie this weekend, I'm guessing maybe it shouldn't be, but The Legend of Tarzan.
Yeah, The Legend of Tarzan is a really big budget film that explores. It takes place late into the legend. As a lot of people know, they discovered Tarzan in the jungle. They brought him back to Victorian England. He became, you know, he became actually elite, and he became a regular citizen. And he actually married a woman named Jane. And this movie takes place after he's already assimilated into England, but has to go back to the jungles to rescue Jane. And the weird thing about this movie is it was directed by David Yates, who's actually a really good director. He directed the last 4 Harry Potter movies, and they're all great. but the weird thing about this is, like, every scene I've seen in it, it's like Tarzan has to go back to the jungle to rescue Jane, but he's running around in the jungle in khakis. It just seems wrong to me. It's like Tarzan in khakis. I'm like, no, that doesn't work.
But he is shirtless throughout the movie, pretty much, right?
Oh, well, yeah. You want women to show up to the theater, so yeah. I don't know about that one, but the one that's really going to stink is the third in the series of the Purge movies. These are terrible movies. I can't believe that there's 3 of them now. The original idea is a great idea, where to alleviate most crimes, one night per year, there's a night called The Purge where 12 hours, everything is legal, including murder. So people can get it out of their system one night a year, and then everything is fine. And as a result, according to these futuristic films, the crime rate drops massively because of The Purge. This is the third in the series. So the first two were completely wasted opportunities on what is a pretty interesting premise.
Yeah.
But they're trying to cash in on it being an election year this year. There are actually some of the advertising for it says how to make America great. So they're really, they're taking advantage of the election year here.
Sure.
In fact, if it's as bad as the first two, it will not be watchable. So.
It's funny though, Nick, you say this is the most awful movie. It's not watchable yet. They're making a third one. So it's making money. Somebody's going to see this, right?
Well, the other thing is that they don't cost much. Ethan Hawke was in the first one, but since then there hasn't been one named person. The first one made the most money of the two. But you can shoot this movie for $14 million. And if the movie makes 20 on the opening weekend, you've already made your money back. So that's why a lot of these movies, that's why there have been 27, Paranormal Activity movies, because they cost $5 and they make their money back in the opening weekend. This is a case of one of those movies that you don't invest a lot of money to get a return.
Yeah. All right. So you're not excited about anything coming out. Is there anything out there right now that if somebody wants to go catch a flick this weekend, you'd say, okay, here's where you should spend your money?
Well, I enjoyed the one that's coming out this weekend. There is one that's coming out this weekend that I want to mention really quickly. It's the only one that I'm interested in. But I really enjoyed The Shallows a lot. This was with Blake Lively. It's like the girl from Gossip Girl versus a shark for an hour and a half. And I thought that was very entertaining. There's also a really insane horror movie called The Neon Demon, which I wouldn't recommend to anybody who doesn't want to see something really gross and really perverted and really sick and twisted. I, however, think it's one of the best movies of the year. But the one that's coming out this weekend that I really am excited about is called Swiss Army Man. It's with Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe. All I'm going to do is, I won't even comment on it. I'm going to actually see it tomorrow. Like, it's the first thing I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm just going to read the description, okay? Are you ready?
Okay, let's go.
Without any comments, Paul Dano, Daniel Radcliffe. Being stranded on a deserted island leaves young Hank bored, lonely, without hope. As a rope hangs around his neck, Hank prepares to end it all until he suddenly spots a man lying on the shore. Unfortunately, he's dead and quite flatulent. Using this gassy body to his advantage, Hank miraculously makes it back to the mainland. However, he now finds himself lost in the wilderness and dragging around a talking corpse named Manny. I can't wait to see this movie.
And you are hopeful for this, or are you?
Oh yeah, no, I think it's going to be great. The trailer is weird and hilarious, and I really love Paul Dano. And Daniel Radcliffe plays the gassy dead body. So I am all over this one. I am all over this one. And so for the holiday weekend, that's my choice.
And Nick, what's your guess on the pitch on that when they went into the producers? Was it Castaway meets Weekend at Bernie's?
Yeah, that's probably what it was. This studio that's releasing the film is a relatively new studio called A24. And they're responsible for some very unusual movies that came out over the past couple of years. They released one of the best horror films of the past 10 years called The Witch, which came out earlier this year, and they released it on 2,000 screens, and it's really a small, weird little art film. They released Colin Farrell's movie from a couple of weeks ago called The Lobster, which is about a hotel that you check into, and if you don't meet someone and fall in love, you turn into an animal of your choice. So this is a studio that is backing little independent movies that are really out there and really strange and giving them wide releases. This movie about a farting corpse and a guy on a deserted island is going to open on 2,500 screens Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, but A24, this is the studio that's taken, I think, some of the biggest risks in independent film right now. They're a great studio.
Nick DiGilio is heard at 2 a.m. every weekday morning. Nick, what's on the big show coming up tonight, this morning?
We've got Herb, who is our Weintraub, who is our consumer guy. He's going to come out and keep you guys safe from people who are trying to steal your identity and stuff. And, of course, it's Sly James Friday, Straight Out of Context, and Nick D's show, Spies, all that stuff on Friday morning.
Excellent. Nick D, have a great weekend. Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Right. We have news coming up next here on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
So we can't do waterboarding, which is, it's not the nicest thing, but it's peanuts compared to many alternatives, right? But they can do chopping off heads, drowning people in steel cages. They can do whatever they want to do. Can you imagine them sitting around the table or wherever they're eating their dinner, talking about the Americans don't do waterboarding and yet we chop off heads. They probably think we're weak, we're stupid, we don't know what we're doing, we have no leadership. You know, you have to fight fire with fire.
Well, that's the latest from your Republican nominee, Donald Trump, yesterday. Matt Bubala here with you. And for Steve Cochran this morning, we're joined on the phone every Thursday morning by the moderator of Meet the Press, Mr. Chuck Todd. Good morning, Chuck. How are you today?
Good morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being with us this morning, as always. So Donald Trump yesterday brings back up waterboarding. Is that a sign that he's going back to things that worked well for him earlier because he's had a lot of negative news in the campaign in the last couple of weeks?
Oh, I wouldn't read anything into it. I mean, I think that this is, you know, there's another terrorist attack, and this is what he believes. Look, in many ways, there is a consistency to Trump, I think, when it comes to trade or terrorism, right? Which is, everything is from an American perspective and an American point of view. So even that last description of torture, right, in many ways, he's like, oh, wait a minute. You know, we're going to look out for ourselves first. You know, the sort of two philosophies, right? Do you feel as if that we're, you know, the role of America in the world is to sort of set the rules for the world, set the example, and you know, basically it, or is it, hey, you know what? They're looking out for themselves. We're going to look out for ourselves, and not worry about what our image is, because our, you know, the most important thing is to, you know, get these guys before they get us. And I think that's where there is some consistency to him, and that's why there's some appeal to him, because I think there is a frustration about terrorism right now, because it feels as if there is an event a month at this point.
Chuck, I have to ask you, as long as we're on the Trump topic, I couldn't believe yesterday when I thought my ears were misleading me when he suggested that I think he's trying to work with the Republican Party, at least on any given day, but then the next day that kind of falls flat. Did he suggest yesterday that he's not happy that some of his former rivals aren't endorsing him, and he says there should be some sort of consequences, calling them sore losers?
I think he said they shouldn't be allowed to run for office again as Republicans if they don't fulfill this pledge. Well, and, you know, I think that is, I can tell you, you hear from all these reluctant Republicans at Capitol Hill who, you know, don't have, they don't want them, but they don't have the guts to stand up and say it. But behind the scenes, they'll sit there and say, God, I wish he could go a couple of days without attacking Republicans. It is amazing that Trump can't go more than about a day or two without hitting somebody from that's supposed to be an ally or going after his rival. I tell you, I don't know about you, but the best way to win somebody over is not threatening them.
Right.
Threats usually they haven't worked for me in trying to win over friends.
But Donald Trump doesn't play by anybody else's rules, right? And so far it's working for him. So there's been no reason for him to stop doing things however in the world he wants. But speaking of people not supporting him, so that delegate in Colorado has really been pushing this idea of a kind of a revolt at the convention. Do you think there's going to be any legs to that, Chuck, or will that die down?
I think there's going to be some legs. I just don't know whether there's going to be enough critical mass to make it happen. I think there's going to be enough doubts about him and enough people wanting to express those doubts that there'll be at least a debate on the floor about this issue, about whether the delegates should be allowed to do what they want, et cetera. I think Trump's going to end up squashing it. I think he's going to have enough support and enough allies to overcome this. But that doesn't mean it, like, goes away. You know, I think that it's going to bubble up. It's going to become an issue on the first day of the convention. But he probably has enough allies and enough support to deal with it. But you know what? There's still, 17 days, I think, until the convention, 18 days. There's every chance he could say something so egregious that maybe enough that maybe critical mass is hit.
Well, Chuck, that's interesting because, you know, Donald Trump has been able to play the media so well over all this time to get so much publicity and kind of help himself without having to spend too much money. And it seems like now that sort of working in Hillary's favor in a way that, you know, there's negative things about Hillary all the time. But right now, Donald is so dominating the news headlines still, but everything's not going his way with those headlines. It's almost working out in Hillary's favor that, like, the Benghazi report comes out, and while there was no smoking gun there, and people are playing that either way that they want to play that, you know, she has been able to stay under the radar a little bit while Donald seems to be hurting himself day by day lately.
Look, I think that right now the campaign is a referendum on him and not on her. Yeah. And I think that, you know, 6 months ago, I think many of us thought the general election, that no matter how it looked, turned out, it was always going to end up being a referendum on her, more on her than whoever the Republican nominee is. And there was really only one Republican candidate that could make that difference, and it was Trump, and it is Trump. That said, you know, she's got it. She can win this way by basically just making it a referendum on Trump. But I don't know if she can win in a way that will make it easy for her to cover. You know, I think she's going to, you know, she needs to improve those positive numbers. She needs to give people a reason to vote for her, not just give people a reason to vote against Trump. And I think that that's still something she's struggling with.
What's coming up on Meet the Press this weekend?
Well, it's July 3rd. So, we know it'll be a little bit of a 4th of July theme there, a little bit. But we're going to focus on terrorism. We're also going to talk at least to one VP candidate, Tom Perez, the Labor Secretary on the Democratic side. And we're still filling in a gap or two before Sunday. It is still Thursday. We got another 24 hours.
You got
before
time. I start panicking. And the world can change in the next 24 hours,
exactly.
Right? Todd hosts Meet the Press on the weekend, Sundays on NBC. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone. Have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks. Appreciate it. You too.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
That's right. It is the Steve Cochran Show. 6:52 a.m. Matt Bubala is sitting in the big chair for Mr. Cochran today. He's back tomorrow morning when the whole crew is out at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival. 6 to 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. You guys will be there. Andre, you're planning on doing the big story.
Yes.
One of the big stories. From a hot air balloon.
I think so, yes. That's the plan. And I say I think so, not because I'm tentative about doing it, because I've been in one. They're so cool. So much fun. But I think we have to wait and see how windy it is.
Yeah.
And then it'll be tethered, I think, to the ground.
I think it'd be really fun if it was really windy. And Andrea
just
takes
off.
Listening to Andrea.
I'll be like a little balloon, like a little kid loses their balloon and it just goes flying away.
Aw. That'd be sad.
Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
See, I want to go, Andrea. I want to go with you up there because then I can do a traffic report after the big story.
It could be an actual live traffic report.
And if we get untethered, I can cover all the roads.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I'll just be screaming, "Help us!" Mary's going. The Edens is fine.
Yeah, it looks good over there. I can see the Kennedy. Yeah, actually, I'll probably only be able to see 53 and 355.
Yeah.
I think that's about.
Well, hopefully, depending on how windy it is,
maybe
Mary.
88.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Mary, would you get up in a hot air balloon?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah?
Dave?
I'm there. Fun.
Yeah,
Dave's,
sure.
Dave,
none of you have any?
I thought you were scared.
No, who said I was scared?
You know who's
I never
nervous?
Said that.
I thought you were scared.
Mr. Jacobson is very nervous, but he won't be there, but he's afraid.
Mike,
that's true? You're scared of the
Sandberg's
hot air balloon?
Afraid.
I wouldn't never, ever in a million years get in a basket like that.
Really?
No way. I was just talking with Pat Brady, who's a pilot, who has flown in... open cockpit, everything. He said he wouldn't do it. So that just reassures that
lack
I'm not
of control
crazy.
Because you have no control over this because it's a basket and you just
you float
too much at the mercy.
I mean, I get nervous getting on a ladder. So
yeah, Miss Sandberg,
just be honest with you.
I am not.
Well, hold on. Let me get you on there. There you are.
Sorry. I am not scared. I am not interested in being tossed out of a basket like a piece of fruit.
Oh yeah, you're worried about the landing.
Well, we land because there's not a smooth landing. I'm going to hop around with you guys and then have you flop on top of me and then we roll out of the basket.
That sounds like another way of saying you're scared.
Do we wear equipment of any kind?
No.
Knee pads?
Wilson Contreras
pads?
Will be advising you tomorrow
yeah,
morning
exactly.
on how to
yes.
properly suit yourself up for the balloon
wear a
ride.
Cup.
But again, it's going to be a great day at the
yeah,
Eyes to the Sky.
Awesome.
Come out and see us tomorrow. Wow.
Dave, we're not being negative at all. I think
listen to you guys.
Listen out there to see
how
this.
Come the only this two that fun. Are so excited? Me and Andrea, we're not chicken, we're going.
I mean, who
going.
Said I? I never said I was.
You guys jumped out of something. You are into the daredevilish type stuff.
Yeah, we've done this.
I think they're really indoor, to watch.
Indoor skydiving,
which was basically just floating on air.
Yeah,
which was
come
cool.
on.
Those things are so cool, and that is like the biggest business opportunity, it seems, right now.
It is, yeah. They're opening everywhere now.
And parties, like every party is there.
Bachelorette parties, bachelor parties, that's what they're doing. It's kind of
That seems like an odd place for a bachelor, bachelorette party. See, I can see a little kid party, but bachelor, bachelorette parties usually involve...
Drinking,
and then floating. Oh,
well, you do it
if
before
that goes
or after.
Wrong.
That could not be good.
The security deposit a bachelor or bachelorette party must have to put down to get to do that.
Yeah,
but there's a guy in there with you,
and keep down. Wink, wink.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been, I know there's a guy in there with you, but if you've been drinking and suddenly you don't feel so good,
not good.
I don't want to see that floating 40 feet in the air.
When I was young at Great America, there's that ride that is a big circle, and they strap you to the wall, and it spins really fast.
Oh,
and somebody
awful.
Got sick on it when we were on it.
That's the Gravitron, right?
Yeah. Yes, that's it. It was really
bad. Can we go back to talking about the baskets?
The Wild Eyes of the Skies Festival, Dave.
Which is going to be awesome.
Come on out and see us.
None of that will happen tomorrow morning, we promise.
We'll have a good time.
And you too can get a free ride.
True. You can. It's not a free ride. No, you can't get a free ride, Mary.
Oh.
The rides will cost the listeners.
Yes.
You get to ride for free because you're married.
I thought they could win a ride.
You'll have a chance to win a free balloon ride during the broadcast ride. Rides will also be available to attendees that morning for a fee, weather permitting. Free parking and admission during the broadcast. You can find out more at WGNradio.com/events. Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. Taste of Chicago opens up next week.
Yeah, we had our taste preview in here yesterday.
I heard, what did you have? Pig candy?
Pig candy. It was maple glazed bacon, and we had tamales from Dia de los Tamales.
Well, DNAinfo.com filed one of those Freedom of Information Act requests so they could find out everything in the contracts.
Oh, cool.
So later in the show today, when we get some free time, we'll talk about who the performers are, what they're making, and what their demands were.
I want to know what Billy Idol's making.
You would be, I think you'd be surprised. Do you think he's making a lot, or do you think he's not making much at all?
My initial guess that it would be he's not making much at all.
We'll find out later in the show.
Okay.
Without health insurance, an ER visit could cost you over $6,500. A foot fracture could cost you over $17,000. You never know when something may occur, and if you don't have health insurance when you need it, medical bills will quickly pile up. Go with the best health coverage available. Go with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Blue Cross Blue Shield has been part of this community for over 80 years, helping members and communities live healthy and well. Blue Cross is dedicated to helping Illinois be a healthier place to live, work, and play. Over 8 million members carry the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois card, and no card gives you more confidence when you walk into that doctor's office or hospital. Blue Cross will provide you peace of mind at a time when you need it most. For more information on health insurance, health and wellness tools, tips on how to enroll, and how to find a plan that fits within your budget, visit bcbsil.com. Blue Cross, Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. News is next.
The Pittsburgh
Woody here from Woody Buick GMC. Breaking news. Just announced on all Buick Encores and GMC Acadias. 0 for 72 month financing. And only Woody has 250 of those to choose from. Visit us at WoodyCars.com and see for yourself. Hurry.
My name is Helen, and I am a social worker at the Lovell Federal Healthcare Center. My father is a veteran that served in the Vietnam conflict. I am honored to help veterans like him, and I know that he is proud that I help other veterans with their health care, from understanding their benefits to answering questions about available services. I encourage you to visit us to see what benefits you can receive. Visit our website, www.lovell.fhcc.va.gov, to learn more.
For an unmatched variety of tender and flavorful meats, go to Walt's family-owned food centers. Your satisfaction is always guaranteed. When you think meats, think Walt's. Walt's, a tradition of grocery excellence for 79 years.
We're ahead a little bit here. Okay, so Billy Idol.
All right, yeah. I would think he would not be making a ton.
So what's your guess? What is a ton in your mind?
All right.
Nobody's making a million. Last year, the top act at Taste of Chicago was Weezer.
Okay.
They made 200 grand. Nobody's making that much this year.
I would say my guess would be Billy Idol, because he was big in the 80s, but
he
maybe
was.
Not as big
and
as...
And we haven't seen him... I mean, The Wedding Singer was
right.
kind of his little comeback, but that's even 10 years ago.
I'm
right? going
to guess 70,000.
Dave?
I'm going to say $100,000.
Dave's right on. $100,000 for Billy Idol. The city also will provide 7 first-class flights and 14 coach seats one way from L.A. to Chicago.
Wow.
So he's got 21 people altogether in his entourage.
Well, if you saw the wedding singer, yeah, Billy Idol flies first class.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dealing with a stopgap for human services, higher ed, as well as call it P-12, preschool through high school.
The Chicago Public Schools is going to be in the mix. I am determined to have that. I cannot imagine this state of Illinois doing anything that does not include the education of the largest city in the state.
We, of course, want to make sure that there's no losers as we propose an education funding bill. However, there's only a certain pot of dollars. We want to make sure that it's dispersed equally throughout the state.
Well, that's an interesting quote, making sure there's no losers. The losers in the end, I think, always end up being the taxpayers when the state's in such disarray. We'll see what happens there. Matt Bubala in for Steve Cochran this morning. It's our political hour that I enjoy listening to every Thursday morning, so I'm excited to be in studio with all the people here today and right now. Pat Brady's in studio, as always, every Thursday morning from Next Generation Strategies. Eric Edelstein is in from AL Media. And, of course, our very own Rick Pearson is on the phone from The Rick Pearson Show, The Sunday Spin. Hey, Rick, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Matt. How are you?
Good. So everybody's in the studio all at once here, so we've got a lot of time to chat, but I'll chat with you because I don't know how long you can stay with us, Rick. What's the latest out of Springfield? Sounds like it's all going to get done today. When we say all get done, that's a really nice way of saying they're going to fund things for a short amount of time, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, this is a great deal of movement, and there, you know, there is a surprising amount of movement that has taken place in the last 72 hours. But that having been said, everything still comes down to a level of distrust that everybody is carefully working through the legislation, making sure that there aren't any trap doors contained in it. But within by 8 o'clock, the House Executive Committee is supposed to take up action on these bills, a six-month budget bill that gets the state past the election and into January, as well as a full-year funding bill for kindergarten through high school.
You mentioned there's been a lot of movement. Why suddenly are the sides playing nice together? Who is somebody cracking here, or did both sides finally see we're really going to look bad if we don't finally get something done, and so they all stepped up?
I think it's the latter, really, Matt. I mean, it's one of these where all along and throughout this impasse, I think it was a matter of both Governor Rauner's side thinking that they were winning in public opinion. I think the Democrats thought that they were winning in public opinion, and that was kind of the way they were going to go all the way through November. But I think in the end, you know, we've talked so much about the fact of schools being such a big pressure point that I think on both sides we're starting to see that whatever support they thought they had was crumbling. And truly, you know, when you look nationally, too, I think there's a anti-incumbency move as we go into November in these very important legislative elections. I think everybody thought it was best to try to settle for what they could. And so you did have both sides giving in.
So the four top legislative leaders, including Mike Madigan and Governor Rauner, meet for an extended session yesterday behind closed doors, don't really speak to anybody as they leave. How is that relationship thought out? Can Madigan and Rauner start working together now, or is this just get this done and then we go back to fighting?
I think it's really get this done and then we go back to the political warfare. I mean, there's no secret that Governor Rauner and Republicans want to erode that supermajority that Democrats have in the House and the Senate, Governor Rauner's very harsh words for Mike Madigan and that Democrats he controls in his words. And you're going to have the Democrats still, you know, trying to stand up for union rights and those kinds of things against the turnaround agenda that Governor Rauner proposed. But, you know, it's notable that a lot of this movement was created by the fact that the governor did lift his conditions for the turnaround agenda. And that has really been the whole source of the stalemate that's existed in Springfield. But that having been said, that's only a temporary reprieve. And regardless of what legislators do today as far as the budget, it still is only for a short-term period, and there's also going to be a need for new revenue. That means tax increases.
Do you think this is how it's going to play out, though, until the next major election? They'll just sort of keep kicking the can down the line, keep enough stuff getting funded that they don't all get run out of the state, and then see where it plays out in public opinion when we really go to the polls next?
Well, I think there's no doubt that one, at least taking education off the table for the year is probably a very smart move. But with a short-term budget, a six-month budget, that's purely designed to get everybody past the November election. So, and quite frankly, if there is going to be any kind of a tax increase when you get into January, it only takes a simple majority of legislators. Right now, that would take a 3/5 vote, and that's virtually impossible to do.
Pat Brady, Eric Edelstein in studio. What's your guys' take on the latest?
Well, I just wonder, you know, there's been, Rick, it's Eric, so much criticism of the decline of journalism and the decline of the importance of newspapers, but there seemed to be this concerted effort across the state of all these editorial boards sort of saying, enough is enough, boys, get something done here. I think you mentioned the trigger point of schools not opening, but I wonder if at a certain point, particularly the governor and the others sort of said, you know, the heat's getting a little hot here.
Well, I do think that there's no doubt that, as I said, you know, we've been fighting this battle for so long with each side thinking that it's winning. But I think, you know, just in recent weeks, it's become apparent that, you know, you have an angry populace out there. You have an angry voting climate out there. You know, we saw that in the primaries on the national level. And I think it's just festering because of kind of the ridiculous situation that we're in Illinois as being, you know, the only state without a budget heading into a second year.
I mean, the last thing I'd say is pretty remarkable for Cranes. I don't think I've ever seen it in my lifetime to basically say we were wrong in endorsing Rahner.
Oh, Cranes is so in the tank with the mayor, though.
Yeah, but I mean,
they've been writing nonsense. Yeah, and I love Cranes, but that editorial, I mean, it's totally in the tank with the mayor.
All right, hold on. Now it's starting to get good. Save that. We got to do traffic. We've got to say goodbye to Rick Pearson. He's got other work he's got to do this morning. Rick, what's coming up on the Sunday Spin?
The Sunday Spin, it's, you know, it's 4th of July holiday. Certainly we'll be talking about whatever gets done in Springfield, but we'll also be talking about that independent maps movement and the latest in that. That's in court actually today, this afternoon. And we'll also be talking to a local mayor who's the first person ever to recite the Gettysburg Address at all 50 states.
Okay. Excellent. Something for everybody on the Sunday Spin this morning, this Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Rick Pearson, thanks so much for jumping on the phone.
Thank you.
Where's that at, Andrea? Where are we getting those at? Jewel?
At Jewel?
At Jewel, you get Fathead. And the Wilson Contreras one is going to be great. They're coming up with this big Fathead, and he's just dancing around, holding himself in place.
Yeah, that was quite a sight yesterday. Poor guy.
Poor Wilson Contreras. Dave, any update on Wilson Contreras' status for today's game? Do the Cubs have the day off today?
No, they played tonight in New York.
Tonight in New York.
Yeah, but there has been no
There's update. No day-to-day update on him or... No.
I will try to get the latest for you.
Please do. Yes, we're all waiting impatiently for Wilson Contreras.
Wilson watch.
Wilson watch, yes. And how Wilson and the boys are doing. 7:22 in the morning, Steve Cochran Show. Matt Bubala filling in for Steve today. He's back tomorrow when the whole morning show is out at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, part of the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. In studio right now, though, it's Thursday morning, so we've got the whole gang here. We've got Eric Edelstein in from AL Media and, of course, Pat Brady from Next Generation Strategies. Before we rudely interrupted you to break for traffic, you guys were getting into it about Cranes and about, Eric, you were mentioning that just a concerted effort by the media to really get on both Democrats and Republicans to get something done, to fund things, at least in the short term, which they've done.
Right.
But go ahead, get back
to
it.
Well, Cranes wrote an editorial saying we were wrong about Rahner, that by every measure, 18 months into his term, the state is worse off than when he took office. He promised to turn the fiscal disaster around, and it's only gotten worse. And I was just saying, I can't recall my lifetime, you know, this quickly into a governor's term. You know, there's certainly times that a newspaper endorses and then doesn't endorse for re-election, but this quickly to say, well, we were wrong, this guy's been a disaster.
Well, and is it fair, though, and I'll help Pat out here a little bit, he doesn't need my help, but is it really fair?
Cochran usually does, too.
To put that on him, because, and listen, you know, I'm no fan of Governor Rahner, I'm no fan of any of the politicians right now, but... You know, it is two-sided. Now, maybe he's been too forceful and drawn his line in the sand, and they're not going to play ball, so they're not going to play ball. But it's certainly not all his fault that we're getting up.
No,
right?
I've said from the beginning, there's a lot of blame to go around. But when you sit in the big chair, you ultimately are responsible. He's the governor of the state of Illinois. He's the person who ran on shaking up Springfield, and he's failed in doing that. Hopefully what's happening today and tomorrow is going to get us out of this. Because whether you're Democrat or Republican, we want the state to succeed.
Yeah.
And right now we're failing badly.
Pat, did Governor Rahner... not anticipate how strong Madigan had a hold on things that, get him to play ball?
Crane's at it, and I'll say it again, they're totally in the tank with the mayor. They have been for months. So the editorial, just put that aside. It'll have no influence on any voters. It's just something to, for Democrats to talk about. But no, he didn't underestimate the strength of Mike Madigan. Mike Madigan's down there for 40 years.
Yeah.
He controls every process of the legislature. He's the most powerful man in the state by far. So he doesn't want any of these reforms that the voters voted for 2 years ago. He doesn't want any kind of work comp reform. He doesn't want term limits. He doesn't want redistricting reform, which is was up today. Everything that the state needs to go forward and create jobs and more taxpayers, not more taxes, Madigan opposes because he's in the tank with public sector unions that fund all his candidates and the trial lawyers. It's a pretty simple equation. And Governor Rauner, change his heart. You have a lot of interests that are against him on the Democrat side. And this is, I think, a victory for everybody to get this stopgap done. But I think the Democrats recognize that they're going to have to play ball with this governor. And I think he had a pretty good day. And for the first time, and this includes Republican governors, taxpayers are actually have a seat at the table with Mike Madigan. Instead of giving $700 million for a bailout for Chicago public schools, we're only going to spend $250 million, which I think is a big victory for the taxpayers.
You know, Matt, I just say that it's easy in this cynical age that everything through a political lens, everything for ulterior motives. There is a major philosophical difference between Madigan and the Democrats and Rauner. Rauner wants to destroy public unions. He wants to basically...
You know, you two are the problem right here. Nobody talks nice to each other. He's going to destroy. You're the Democrats are destroying. This is what's going on in Springfield right now. Nobody can. I mean,
well, two parties.
Not everybody.
Let me tell you, I disagree.
But you guys
with that.
Are
you
not
have
completely
this kind of
out to destroy.
You have a two-party system, and then
absolutely,
you reach
you do.
Ground,
but so. You guys, this language you're using right now, just with each other, they're out to destroy. They're this and that. I mean, this is the problem down in Springfield. Is Madigan and Rauner. Nobody talks to each other anymore. I know they've got their agendas and what they want to do, but compromise is politics.
No,
that,
you're,
isn't
no
it?
You're right, Matt, but I'm making a slightly different point. There's a philosophical difference.
Absolutely.
And Rauner's difference is he thinks you give big tax cuts to wealthy and corporations, you basically get rid of unions, get rid of protections, get rid of collective bargaining. His philosophy, and again, I disagree with it, but there's an intellectual argument to it, I guess, is you win a race to the bottom. You drive down wages. You drive down what the middle class makes, and then you attract business to come and pay people low wages to do that. Other people believe in sort of a high-tech,
but you know
high
that
wage.
Is certainly not how he would tell you what his plan
is. But it's what he's
ridiculous.
Doing. It's what he's doing.
It's ridiculous. It's,
he says his models are Wisconsin. His models are Indiana. These are what these states have done in this race to the bottom, and
have
it
you
hasn't
seen the stats
done well.
Out of Indiana and how well Indiana's doing, how well Wisconsin. And
Wisconsin's all, doing horribly.
That's nonsense. The status quo has gotten us where we are today. So, and I agree there is a philosophical difference, but anybody in this state that's been here at all that thinks that the public sector unions don't have an outsized influence in policy isn't paying attention.
All right, we got to take a quick break and do the news. We'll get back to more of that. Andrea, how do you sit here and do this every Thursday morning?
I love it. These
you just
guys,
sit back
I love
and you just
guys.
You sit back and you just like keep your.
I love
do
these
they
guys.
Normally sit this close together?
Hey,
do you guys
playing golf
have,
tomorrow?
Like, something?
We are playing
we're buddies.
Golf.
We're
all good. We're all good. No.
Amazing.
I sit back and I just let them go.
All right, let's take a quick break. More with these guys after the news on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on Radio 720 WGN. Matt Bubala filling in for Mr. Cochran this morning. He's back tomorrow morning, as Andrea was mentioning. They're headed out to the Lyle Eyes in the Skies Festival, part of the Hometown Voices tour presented by Allstate. Andrea up in a hot air balloon, we hope, for a big story.
Yeah, we'll be up there. It'll be fun.
That will be fun. That'll be cool to see.
I am going to go up, yeah.
Cool.
Everybody can come out, free admission and free parking during the broadcast from 6 to 10 a.m.
You really going up in a balloon?
I am, yeah. I was in one a long time ago, about 10 years ago. It was a blast. It was really cool.
Was that with the Wizard of Oz guy? Were you from Omaha?
That's a good question, but no. Different Wizard of Oz guy. Yeah. No. It was very fun, though.
I do not know what you're talking about, but Andrea will be in a hot air balloon tomorrow doing a big story, and the whole show will be out there. So come check him out at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival tomorrow morning. All right. Eric Edelstein in studio from AL Media. You can follow him on Twitter at Adele, 64. Can we say Adele?
Adele.
Ever since Adele.
I think Adele.
I think you got to spend
Adele.
Adele
probably get more hits.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you're right. at Adele 64.
All right, there you go.
And he'll sing for you as well if he gets a chance. Pat Brady also in studio at Pat_Brady from Next Generation Strategies. So we've funded things for the short term. Now, the interesting thing to me is so Chicago gets this funding. It's not what Chicago wanted, but it's more than they could have gotten otherwise. So at least it's getting something done. But the CPS had announced these huge, massive budget cuts for next year, going into next year. Those will still stand even with this funding, correct?
That's my understanding. I mean, I don't know all the details of this. I don't think this doesn't fundamentally change the structural deficits and the huge funding discrepancies that not only CPS has, but the pension systems and some of these other functions. So, again, you said earlier, Matt, is this just kicking the can down the road? There's no question. We have not solved the problem. We have basically put a Band-Aid on it and said, let's let schools open and then we'll deal with it later.
Yeah.
Well, part of it, the deal here, if it goes through today, is that the deal on the pension reform, the state picking up the pension pickups, they call it, won't happen if there's not reform. So that's why they moved it into January effective date. So there are some incentives to make some of the reforms that everybody on both sides of the aisle agree need to be done.
What I don't like are the possibility of a property tax increase. Again,
That's what Ronner has said. Let the locals make that determination. He said all the way through to the mayor, you've got the tools to do this, and they're giving him the tools now, so they're likely will be another property tax increase. But hopefully that irritates voters and people enough that will drive some efficiencies in these government organizations.
Well, Chicago Chicagoans just started seeing the bills from the most recent tax increase. An average of 13% it went up this year.
I'll show you my bill.
That's the first of four straight years you'll see an increase.
You got to defend the mayor a little bit on this. He inherited a big chunk of this.
Right.
Yeah,
so maybe
absolutely.
You know, for years we just didn't have these increases.
Yeah. You know, Mayor Daley did a great job. We saw these beautiful tulips down Michigan Avenue, but now we're paying for a lot of the bills that are coming due, right? Because we didn't pay pensions. We didn't do certain things. And pension reform does need to happen. We talked about that a little bit. What do you guys see eventually happening here? I mean, if we keep living to 80, 90, 110 years of age, pensions will never be able to support that. So there does need to be some type of reform. Is there common ground the two sides can find to actually make some pension reforms?
Well, absolutely. And I think there was. And there was a bill that was passed. It ultimately, with bipartisan support, that was struck down by the Illinois Supreme Court. You know, you have this provision in the Illinois Constitution which says you cannot diminish benefits. I mean, and that was put in there in 1970. And it's a very tough standard to work its way around.
Yeah.
But I do think there's recognition by unions, by Democrats, by Republicans that everyone has to take a little bit of a haircut. But let's not have the pain just be felt by the people that have done what they were supposed to do, which are the workers.
Right.
Not take it out on them, who a lot of whom public sector workers don't get Social Security.
Right.
So this is their only retirement. So is there a way to do it in such a way that we don't bankrupt this state, but we make it more equitable for everyone, but everyone's feeling a little bit of the pain?
Well, it's
the big
part.
Sticker, though, is this 3% cost of living increase every year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
compounded, right?
Compounded. So if you look at the numbers, you put 160 grand in, you get paid out $4 million over the term. It just doesn't work. And the numbers on the numbers that they're supposed to get on their investment returns, they estimate it like 8%, which is ridiculous. So there are certainly common sense reforms that can be done, but that constitutional provision is a real problem.
Well, how much talk has there been about a constitutional amendment to change the Illinois Constitution?
Not a lot. I mean, there's been talk about it. I think it's a very hard standard to get done. You know, it depends who you talk to and what their attitude is. I think there's a feeling once you open that Pandora's box, everything's on the table. I don't think, yes, you could do one constitutional amendment, but then you also, some people have said, let's have a whole constitutional convention. Let's rewrite the whole thing. Because, you know, the Constitution does something else that makes Illinois an outlier, which says we have to have a flat tax. A lot of states, Wisconsin.
And believe it or not, a balanced budget.
And a balanced budget. But a flat tax is kind of regressive tax, right? Everybody pays the same percentage, unlike the federal income tax, which is progressive. Most states in this country that have an income tax have a progressive. Illinois has a flat because of the Illinois Constitution. Mm. So once you go down that path of starting to say, well, let's change some of these things that have contributed to our structural problems, everything's kind of on the table. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing.
I think, though, there's a constitutional question actually up today, the Fair Map Initiative to change how we won't allow elected officials to choose their who's going to vote for them. It's up for a hearing at 2 o'clock today. I think that is as important an issue as we're going to see in this state, as the budget agreement was that hopefully will happen today.
Let's get into that after the traffic, because I do want to talk about that, the redistricting and how that will affect things, and will that really go through? Will real reform ever actually happening? It never seems to happen. The people in control of the office always map things their way, and then we move on from it. So
you're very cynical.
I've been sitting next to you two for 40 minutes now. It's worn off on me. Dave, was there a paid for by Pat Brady at the end of that or no?
There was just, not, but just, apparently.
Pat was like throwing cash at you as that commercial ran.
I rest my case.
And they forgot to mention the great fireworks, because you got to get the fireworks in Indiana. I grew up in Northwest Indiana, so listen. And Three Floyds and everything else is over there, so a lot of good things. Eric Edelstein in studio, Pat Brady in studio, still talking about our budget crisis and everything else that's going on in our wonderful state. You started getting into, Pat, the fair map, the redistricting of the map. What's going on there?
Well, the background is, right now, the legislators, the people that get elected, choose who's going to vote for them. And I'm not saying that as a partisan issue. That's just the way the system has
Whoever's in control tries to keep control by drawing the maps the way they know will get them reelected.
These are the people I want voting for me, because I know they're going to vote for me. What it has resulted in, I think there's only 25% of the seats in this next election are actually contested. So you don't get... You don't get true election. You don't. The people don't have a voice. It's just kind of a rigged up game. And there is a group, a nonpartisan, bipartisan group, or nonpartisan group that's pushing through an initiative to amend the Constitution to allow a different system for how we choose.
What's the status?
Well, it's got a hearings up today, and I don't quite understand the procedure, but I think it goes to the Circuit Court and then it goes to the Supreme Court. We'll make the ultimate ruling.
What are they litigating?
I think they're litigating the same issues that they litigated last time.
Okay.
Remember, it was thrown out, and the judge in that case laid out pretty much the law of what it needs to be, the language of the actual proposed constitutional amendment.
Right.
They're litigating that today, and that will go up to the
Supreme
Court.
So if this gets done, what happens?
Well, hopefully, if it does get done, there'll be a commission that determines, a commission that is nonpartisan. It has people on both sides and people in the middle that will come and draw a map. And the ultimate goal is to have a fair map and a map that allows competition and the voters' voices to be heard versus the system we have now.
Will the map continually be redrawn, though, over and over again like it is now? I mean, should we? I mean, we have,
you have
counties.
To. You
we
have
cities,
to every 10 years. 10 years.
Every 10 years by law, you have to redraw the maps based on census changes. So
based on where people
move. But the one thing that you do point, Illinois has more units of government than virtually any other state. All these mosquito abatement districts and trustee districts and townships and stuff. And that is part of one of our structural problems that a lot of people have said, if you want to create reform, you got to get rid of some of these units of government.
And Governor Reiner's been trying to do that. And actually the leader on that is Dan Cronin, the chairman of the DuPage County Board, who's done a lot of that in his area.
Yeah, but you know, we've identified a lot of problems, Matt. The good news is...
What is the good news?
The good news is President Trump is going to make Illinois and America great again. Oh, so God. Then all this stuff will be solved. Right?
Andrea, it took 37 minutes and 22 seconds for that
to happen.
I was kidding.
I can't even speak. I'm sorry.
Cochran best described it as taking a pane of glass, dropping it on the floor, and it shatters in all different sizes and different facets. That is what the map looks like right now, because you have congressmen, you have representatives, rather, from the far tip of Chicago representing those in far, southwestern Cook County.
Yeah, well, that's how it works. And this is not Democrats or Republicans.
Exactly.
So I'm saying, historically, they sit in a room and they figure out who's going to vote for them, and that is their district. And it's just not a good way to do it. Actually, I prefer it be done by computer, but I think this is a good compromise that will allow it to get through. And I think the support in the state for it's close to 70%. I've seen polls having it's close to 80%. So, again, this is one of these reforms we're talking about that we can easily get done. I think will make a difference in the long run.
And so we get this reform done. 10 years from now, are the politicians in power, whoever it is at the time, going to figure out a way around it?
That'd be pretty hard to do.
Yeah,
just take it away from.
Yeah, if it becomes a constitutional amendment, it's pretty hard to undo, as we said on the pension stuff and the income tax. So,
well, I think even with every
people need to engage, and that's why I think. Steve's been beating it, and these people have been out in the last couple of days with this message. But people need to engage in this, because it's something that I believe, anyway, needs to be done.
All right, Eric, you brought up Donald Trump, so that's on you. But let's talk national politics for a minute or two. It's been a bad couple of weeks, it seems, for Donald Trump. Polling numbers are bad. All the media attention is bad right now.
No money.
Yeah, is that really going to affect him in the way, or is that going to affect the party more? Because it seems that Donald never raised money to begin with, but it got him where it is now. Is that truly going to affect him, or is that going to hurt the party?
$1.3 million in your account would be probably good for a governor race in a small state.
Maybe a congressional race.
Maybe a congressional. He's running for president of the United States and has raised no money. She's going to raise, what, $1 billion?
Yeah.
So, but the difference is, that might help him, is that the Republican National Committee has raised a bunch of money, and in the last 4 years has tried to put in an infrastructure, but that infrastructure was geared towards the typical election where in the battleground states.
Right.
Trump's going to – Arizona's in play this time. I'm sure there's no infrastructure in Arizona. He's such a disaster in the battleground states, the new battleground states, that he thinks he can win. We're in big trouble.
Here's a remarkable thing, and how you said he's had a bad 2 weeks. I'll give you one just anecdote of the deterioration for Trump. Before what happened in Orlando, President Obama was going to make his first appearance with Hillary Clinton jointly on the campaign trail, and they were going to do it in Wisconsin, which is always traditionally a battleground state and will be a battleground state to some extent this year. So they postponed it, obviously, after the tragedy in Florida. They're appearing, I think, either later this week or early next week. Their first joint appearance is going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you think about that for a second, the map is already expanding into a state. President Obama did win it in 08, lost it in 12. A lot of people, when this year started, said North Carolina.
But barely lost it.
Barely lost it, but said it's not really in play. But for the fact that Hillary Clinton's now been there a second time in 2 weeks, appearing with President Obama, that tells you how expansive this map is becoming and how dangerous that is for Trump.
Well, and there was a battleground poll out yesterday, and he loses each of the new battleground states to Hillary Clinton by 6 to 15 points. I mean, this is going the wrong direction in a hurry. And Chuck Todd talked about it, and I'm part of this effort. We need to let the delegates of the convention, of which I'm one of them, the opportunity to vote their conscience and see if we can pick somebody that can actually
win.
So
were you on the 1,000-person conference call a week or so ago?
I was.
And so you think that has some momentum? You think something will happen at the convention?
It's an uphill climb because the RNC is mobilizing their forces to stop it. But if we can get 57 votes out of the committee, we can do it. Actually, only 28 votes to get a minority report, but I think we need to have that debate. And I'm a little disappointed in the committee.
That's the rules committee, right?
The committee and the leadership of the RNC. And the chairman's a good buddy of mine, but I don't think that they recognize just how disastrous this is going to be for us.
But at this late stage, you do this, you pull Trump out, won't it be disastrous anyways? Because you're going to pull somebody else in then, who maybe is great, maybe wonderful, and make a good president, but Donald Trump's not going to go, okay, guys, you're right, and I'll just go away. He's going to try to destroy you if you do that. He'll run a third-party candidacy. He'll do whatever it is. You still get Hillary in the Oval Office. Does that help you maybe down the line on the ballot then?
I'm thinking down ticket. We have big races that we don't need that guy's name at the top of our – and that's my belief, and I believe this for a long time. Probably the only silver lining in all this is I've seen polling here in Illinois that Mark Kirk has completely distanced himself from Trump, particularly with Hispanics. He beats Donald Trump in Illinois with Hispanics by 50 points. So – if he's bad enough, maybe people will just ignore him. But I think we have to do what we have to do right now to try to save the party. And I feel that sincerely about it. That this is going to be such a train wreck and a disaster for us.
How do you, with your crystal ball, how do you see things going in Cleveland? I mean, you,
first, as you know, I predicted many times on this station that Donald Trump would not be the nominee, so my crystal ball's a little blurry.
Well, maybe not, because it's not done yet. He's not the nominee yet. You got to get through Cleveland.
I think there's going to be flying monkeys and supermodels at that convention. It's going to be...
And we'll be there, so we'll have a good time.
Yeah, no one wants to speak.
We'll be partying.
Yeah, a lot of people have turned down their invitations.
Who's the keynote? Usually, Eric, as you know better than anybody, that's usually a big deal.
Here's the thing, though, guys. I mean, 8 months ago, Trump was a train wreck. Then he wins a thing. Now he's a train wreck. It's too far away. I think he's still got a really good shot at this because the polls go up, they go down, and tides swing, and he's such a wild card. You have no idea what's going to happen over the next few months.
We just had a president in this clip before I came on advocating war crimes.
Yeah.
I mean... come on, he's running for president of the United States. He's advocating torture.
He's been advocating it for 8 months, and he's gotten this far. So nothing's out of the question.
13.5 million votes, and there'll be 135 million votes cast.
The other piece of it is, if you look at the historical polling, he's not polled above in any national poll, even the ones he likes to tout, I think higher than 41 or 42%. If you look at that historically for a major party nominee, that is on pace for a landslide election to lose. So he's got to get those numbers up quickly or the concrete's going to harden and this thing will be over. And maybe it is over already.
Well, I think it's awfully early to say that, guys. But we'll keep following
Eric and it. I agree.
I know. What a great way to end it. A kumbaya moment for us here on the Steve Cochran Show. Yes. America is great again. Pat Brady from Next Generation Strategies. Follow him at Pat_Brady. Eric Edelstein from AL Media at Adele64. I'm making it Adele now for you, Eric.
Thank you
so much for being in studio, guys. We've got news coming up next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me, girl.
Steve Cochran Show on Radio 720 WGN. That music every morning means Dean Richards is on the phone. Good morning, Dino.
Good morning. I love that you still call it Radio 720.
You always yell at me about that, but I think it's important that people understand. I think it's important that people understand what they're listening to. That this isn't TV, this isn't the internet, this is radio. It's magical waves coming out of a box.
Well, thank God you told me that. I wouldn't have been able to figure it out. Wasn't sure what
Dino. Hey,
funny.
You've got us all starving over here because we've got the monitors on and you're on the old WGN Morning News cooking something up this morning. What's going on out there today?
Did you see what I made?
What I'm guessing was a big Greek salad. I saw that part.
No. Believe it or not, I can actually cook stuff other than Greek food. We're grilling all morning long, and I was just doing some side dishes. I showed how to make perfect corn on the cob on the grill. That's so simple and so easy. People, it kills me when you go somewhere and people are boiling their corn on the cob. They're boiling all the taste out of it when you should be caramelizing that a little bit on the grill. And it's so simple. You can actually leave it right in the husk. You don't have to do anything.
Really?
So you take the corn in the husk, soak it in water for about 5 minutes. And then just put it on the grill. About every 5 minutes, you give it a one-third of a turn.
Okay.
One-third of a turn, one-third of a turn. Do that for about 20, 25 minutes. You'll be able to see. I mean, the husk is going to get black. It's going to get all charred up. It looks like it's all burnt up. But leave it in there for at least 20 minutes, 20, 25 minutes, and you will have perfect corn on the cob. It is a little bit messy when you take the burnt husk off. So what you also can do is take all the husk off, put it in aluminum foil and do exactly the same thing. And then it's incredibly simple. But the salad that you saw me making is eggplant Parmesan salad. I love eggplant Parmesan. It's a little warm to eat in the summertime. So what you do is take an eggplant and cut it in slices, put it on the grill, you know, get it so it's, you know, thoroughly cooked and it's got some nice grill marks on it. Take it off. You're also going to do the same thing with some French bread. Put it on the grill, maybe put a little garlic on the French bread also, so it's got a nice taste to it. Put that on the grill until it's you know, nice and brown. And then you're going to tear up the French bread into a bowl. You're going to cut up the eggplant into bite-sized pieces, put that in the bowl. You're going to take some cherry tomatoes is what I use. It's a little easier. Put some the cherry tomatoes in there. I cut them in half, take some little mozzarella balls. You know, they sell those in the store now. They're like the size of a cherry tomato. Put those in there with some Parmesan cheese, a little Italian dressing, mix it all up. It's the most delicious salad. It tastes just like eggplant Parmesan. So delicious.
It looked very delicious when we saw it on the monitor. Dean, let's go back to the corn if we could for just a second. Because
I know, because this is quintessential. This is, you know, on my food show, this has been, you know, like one of the great debates.
I believe
these years that I know, because people, they mess up their corn on the cob.
Well, Dean, I'm going to admit, we boil our corn on the cob all the time because I'm...
Sacrilege, I tell
I'm
you.
I'm sorry.
Sacrilege.
I apologize. But two things. You see at the festivals and everywhere where people are grilling corn, all these black marks on the corn. I don't want a charred piece of corn. Also, Dino, when I'm meticulous. I'm very weird about this. But when I husk the corn, there's all those little strands that are all over the corn. And I like to get all of those out of there. Do those come out easily when you grill it?
They come out more easily when you... Because you'll notice at the carnivals, when they're doing it, they do it in the husks. It's easy for them to do it that way. But, you know, if you got to peel the husk off, and then the silk just kind of peels right down the kernel, the ear of corn.
Just falls right off because it's been heated up.
It comes right off, so you won't have a problem. I promise you won't have a problem. Now, you know, you're going to have to make sure, because you've got it in the husk or in foil, that you don't overcook it if you don't want to chard. Now, see, I happen to like it a little bit charred, so I tend to leave mine in there a little bit longer. But if you do my 5 minute, one third of a turn rule, 15 to 20 minutes for you, you'll have perfect corn. I'm looking at the corn that I just made. It's not even brown at all. I mean, for my own personal taste, I would have left it in a little longer because I like it a little charry.
And Dean likes it charry. We've established that this morning. That's good. In the husk and charry. But when you what's the butter rule then, Dino? Because when you go to these carnivals, festivals, then they just dip that thing in a big vat of melted butter. Where are you at with butter on this? And how much salt, Dean?
Well, I actually don't put any salt on it at all. I don't put any salt. I don't put any butter on it either. I know that's kind of sacrilege.
Really?
Because I don't think you need it. The corn caramelizes when you roast it up like that. And I don't want to spoil the taste, but a lot of people put Parmesan cheese on it. They put mayonnaise on it. Ooh. They put chili powder. I mean, there's a whole variety of things. I've got some recipes up at WGNTV.com of different corn recipes. I want to taste the corn. When I'm making the corn, I want to taste the corn. But you can put a little, if you want to, you know, put a little butter on it. After you're done cooking it, put your butter on it and, you know, put your little salt on it if you want to.
Well, Dean, this has been a most informative entertainment report. I really appreciate
it.
We jumped right into food time instead of talking about...
Much more important for the 4th of July.
Well, that's
people
true.
Do they want to make corn on the cob, or do they want to talk about the Academy Awards adding 680 new people, 46 of which are people of color this year? To 46% are.
I was going to say, people. Wait, more than 46, right? Because they're touting how this is so diverse. So it was only 46 out
Not
of 600.
Too many more than 46. but it's because ultimately, all the people that they invited. If all of them accept, the Academy will still only be 11% people of color. So it's still, you know, pretty low. But it's a good start compared to last year. People like Idris Elba and Michael B. Jordan have been invited, and Marlon Wayans. What I find most interesting is that Will Smith, who joined his wife Jada in boycotting last year's Oscar, was not invited to be part of the Academy this year. I think that's super interesting.
Well, I mean, are you surprised that they're miffed at him, or you think they should have extended that olive branch?
I think they should have been a little bigger than that. He's one of the biggest movie stars in the world. You invite Marlon Wayans?
Marlon Wayans is a tough one.
Will Smith. Really?
Well, it's diversity both of color and talent. It's not just, you know, we're really expanding things now.
It's a different kind of talent.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's say that.
Dean Richards will be back with the morning show tomorrow. Thanks for jumping on, Dino.
All right, buddy.
Stay safe at the grill. Dean Richards, you hear him Sunday mornings, of course, 9 a.m. to 1, here on 720 WGN on Radio 720. See, because Dean would get confused. Dean's on TV all the time. I feel like when you introduce Dean, you have to mention this is Radio Dean, because otherwise he keeps, you know how Dean primps for the camera. He's all looking pretty and looking nice. Yeah. And on the, you know,
good,
so I have to remind him, Dean, it's Radio 720. It's not TV 9, it's Radio 720.
Yes, it is.
But it's not been Radio 720 for.
We never stopped being Radio 720.
No, we're
Dave.
Still
we just
Radio 720.
Saying Radio 720.
Okay, all right.
I'm going back to the golden era.
Okay, this is apparently you're touchy about this.
Well, Dean really gives me a hard time about it. I think it's Radio 720.
We all
we're
talk
proud
about
of who we are, Dave.
We don't give you a hard time about it. We all talk about you saying it, though.
I appreciate that.
Behind
this
your
hour,
back.
By the way, this hour on Radio 720 WGN is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
So you're telling me there's a chance? Yeah!
There might be a chance. That's what they're saying. Matt Bubala in for Steve Cochran here on Radio 7. I can't stop saying it, guys. I'm sorry.
Chicago's very own.
Matt Bubala in for Steve Cochran here on 720 WGN. I feel so naked saying that. I need the whoopee of the Radio 720 part of it. I'm sorry. It's my whoopee. Joining us on the phone right now is my very own personal whoopee on the weekends. When I get to see her when I do my overnight show on Saturday mornings at 2 a.m., it's Patty Vasquez. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. Did you just say that you feel naked? Because that's weird to me now. I'm still in bed, so it all got strange.
Okay. Good morning, Patricia. How are you today?
I'm very good. I'm ready to start my day again.
Excellent.
I feel like I just went to bed. Yes, I'm in Springfield, and there are, look, they told me not to come. There are people that I have networked with who gave me some of the inside scoop, and on Tuesday they said, don't bother, we're only going to vote on one bill to release funding for the Department of Transportation so construction can carry on. We're not going to do the education component, that's the big thing. And then I got a call yesterday, get down here as soon as you can. There's going to be fireworks on Thursday. So there are four... Huh?
So you ended up running down there last night?
Yeah, I drove. You know the best time to leave Chicago? Rush hour traffic. Highly recommended. Can't tell you how much fun that was.
I'll bet. All right, so what are you hearing? What's going to happen today?
Well, that's the thing. When I got this phone call at 4 o'clock yesterday, really optimistic legislator who said it looks really good. We've been in these work groups. He just felt really strongly that there was going to be a lot of movement today. By 11 o'clock when the show started, we started having legislators on. The mood had already changed. Representative Sandak sounded really guarded, like something had happened, and now he was afraid to, like, make things worse. No, he wasn't going to make things worse, but if there was a possibility, he seemed cautious about making anything change, even on the radio. And that's what happened for the next 45 minutes with the legislators we talked to. So I don't know anymore. I was hopeful. But they're trying to do a stopgap budget, which would just take us to January,
right,
which isn't great, but it gives us some place to start from and shows that people are willing to negotiate and compromise.
Well, that's one way to look at it, or it just gets kids back in school and gets these guys through the next election without having this hanging over the voters.
Okay, but there's also that. well, I think that's probably one of the most compelling things is for them and motivating them is to get through their... I think they're all acknowledging, look, we're all holding off on this because we're trying to get reelected. I think that's... Or you know, whether it's cynical or not, I think that has something to do with it, whether it's what the voters want or what they want. I think it's a lot of that.
Absolutely. So you'll be down there today and you'll be reporting as events warrant?
Yes, I'm going to do some Facebook video live. And I'll be in the press boxes in the Senate and the House, because it's going to be going on, like I said, four or five bills, and that could take, one bill can sometimes take 2 to 3 hours to debate on the floor. So it depends on how much agreement has happened behind doors. You can always tell when people, basically the leaders have said, just vote yes or no on this, and don't even argue this. And then there are other times when they will fight tooth and nail on the floor and yell at each other.
Either way, we'll hear you tonight at 11 o'clock.
Yes, either way.
All right, Miss Patty Vasquez, get some more sleep and then fight all day long, okay?
I'll just tell you how they fight. Thank you, guys.
Sounds good. Patty Vasquez, you hear weeknights 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. here on 720 WGN. News is next.
Ryan Dempster.
There's a 1-1 to Freeman.
Oh, he caught it right into the palm of Dempster's glove.
Ooh, that is a little smile there from Dempster.
What would Harry say right now about this win?
Well, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of champagne in here. I haven't seen this much champagne since my wedding. We had a party just like this. It was phenomenal. Go Cubs!
That was outstanding.
Matt Bubala in for Steve Cochran here on 720 WGN, 8:41 in the morning. We'll break in with Steve Grzanich whenever news warrants and when we get anything more on the active shooter at Air Force at Andrews. 312-981-7200 is the number. Ryan Dempster is going to be on the phone with us in just a minute to talk Cubs. Dave Ennett, I've been teasing you a little bit this morning about Wilson Contreras yesterday. During the
no,
Cubs
you've been
game.
Teasing him, not me.
Well, he's not here, so I'm teasing him through you, I guess.
I guess, okay.
But, yeah, so the Cubs had a nice blowout win yesterday. Mm-hmm. It was an early morning after a late night with a 15-inning game and another nice victory for the Cubs. But we're seeing the highlights a lot this morning of poor Wilson Contreras. Was it a foul? It had to be a foul ball.
It was a foul tip.
Foul tip.
Just got him in the groin.
Yes. Yes, it did, Dave. Mm-hmm. And usually you kind of fall down in a heap or you try to cover up the fact that you've been hurt in such said area.
Yeah. Rub your neck.
Yes, you do something that deflects the attention from where it needs to be. Wilson instead jumped up, kind of danced up the third base line, holding himself in place. And nobody came. I didn't see any players rushing to his attention. They all just kind of stood there like, wow.
And smirking.
And they kept showing David Ross in the dugout, really just laughing right out loud at him, which is terrible.
It is. It is. We have to ask Ryan about that.
Yeah, I wonder if
some
Ryan
sort of code had to be violated there.
You've got to think. Will Wilson be fined for such antics or something? Will they?
Oh no,
they're going to tease him in some way, shape, or form. Mercilessly,
I would hate to think
right?
they would fine him after that. That seems like that would be, you think be that's piling
harsh?
On.
You think that's harsh?
Yes. Well,
I don't know. With that Cubs team, you never know what they're going to do. You never know what they're going to do. Coming up later in the show, Paul Morello from the Greater Chicago Food Depository will be in the Hunger Walk is this Saturday. We'll find out more about that. And we've got some tickets to give away, people. Rick Springfield will be at the Grand Victoria Casino this weekend on July 3rd. Rick Springfield with special guests Loverboy and the Romantics.
I know someone in this room who's going to be there.
I'm not going to... Well, maybe I'll go.
See?
Maybe I'll go. That's totally my lineup. All 80s lineup.
Oh,
love that.
That is so our childhood, Andrea.
Yeah,
see, Dave was too old at the time. He was out of that stage.
No.
He was, you know. But you and I, we were growing up with that.
Yeah,
totally.
Totally 80s.
Dave was, you know, listen to Lawrence Welk and the Bubbles. But Rick Springfield will be in town with Loverboy and the Romantics at the Grand Victoria Elgin Casino. We've got a pair of tickets to give away later in the show. But here's what we're going to do. We're not just going to do Seventh Caller. You're going to have to finish some lyrics from some of those, the most famous hits from those groups.
And this is fun. We've been doing this off the air too.
Yeah, and you did not do so well.
I did okay when I said it the second time.
Well, the second time doesn't count, Andrea. You have to hit it the first time.
I just realized, though, how often we all are guilty of doing this, making up lyrics to songs.
Yes.
The words we
yes.
think they're saying,
absolutely.
But are not. Yeah.
We've done that throughout our lives, and we'll continue to mangle those lyrics forever. The internet has helped a lot of that now because you can actually look them up.
Yeah, exactly.
But back in the day, when you just heard them on the radio and you'd put your ear to it, you'd get them pretty wrong.
When you try and tape the song off your boombox onto
absolutely.
Your cassette tape, yep.
Press play and record at the same time. Pair of tickets to Rick Springfield at the Grand Victoria coming up later in the show. Right now, it's 8:45. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN, filling in for Mr. Cochran this morning. He is a good friend. I really like him a lot. Rick Springfield with Loverboy and the Romantics, July 3rd, part of the Grand Victoria Casino and Elgin Summer Concert Series. A pair of tickets available right now. But here's what you've got to do. Andre, we talked about this off the air.
Yes.
Two out of three of these. You got to get two out of three of these, or else I'm not giving it to you.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
All right, let's go. Let's go first to Tony. Tony, are you a big fan of the 80s?
I am.
Yeah.
Big fan of the 80s.
Yes.
You know you're Rick Springfield.
I think so.
You know you're Loverboy.
Yes.
You remember the Romantics.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's start. Who do you want to start with? Who do you feel most confident in? You've got to get two out of three of these right, so I'll let you choose. Which band do you want to finish lyrics for?
Rick Springfield.
Rick Springfield. You know the song Jesse's Girl?
Yes.
I want to tell her that I love her, but the...
Point is probably moot.
Point is probably moot.
Oh, that's
very
good.
Yeah. Very good. Dave, wow. Did you have something you want to say about that? Did you remember it?
Oh,
were you
I
singing
did.
It along
yeah,
there?
When they start talking cute, the point is probably, I want to tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot.
Yeah. Perfect. Good Thank job. You. All right.
I know I'm too old to know that, good. Right?
All right. Why are you so mad at me about teasing you? I don't think you're old, Dave.
What did I say the first time you asked me that? I didn't get that one right. I said, but the point is...
You said the point is probably clear, or the point is
yeah,
really clear.
It's really clear. And I went, oh, no, wait, the point is probably moot.
Or I want to kick her with my boot. I don't know what it was.
No, it's... But I want to tell her that I love her, but the point is probably moot.
Oh.
But that she's watching him with
It's just so
eyes.
Much fun to hear you guys all sing. Dave, did you want to sing a line?
I'll wait.
Okay, good. Yes, you'll do the lover boy later, I'm sure. Okay, so Tony, you're one for one. You only have to get one more of these right, and you've got these tickets.
Okay.
Do you want to do a lyric from Lover Boy or from the Romantics?
Let's do Lover Boy.
It's Lover Boy, of course. And what song do you think I'm going to do?
Gosh, I don't know.
Well, there's only two that Andrea and I could really recall.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's working for the weekend. And what was the other
loving
one?
Loving every minute of it.
That Andrea remembers that I don't.
Oh.
We'll end the segment soon,
sad.
So you don't have to hear Andrea sing loving every minute of it.
I've already acknowledged it's sad.
All right, here we go. Tony, you ready?
Yes.
You want a piece of my heart? You better start from the start. You want to be in the show?
You better let it go.
No! She's so close. She's so close.
All right, I'm not going to give it away because I might have to reuse that because I only have so many of these. Now, you get one more shot, Tony. You get one more shot.
Okay.
We've got to go to the Romantics now. This is tougher. Okay. Of course, the most famous song, What I Like About You.
Right.
Here we go. What I like about you, you really know how to dance. when you go up, down, jump around.
Trying for true man.
Oh, that's so close.
That's so close.
So close.
You
got to give it
so
to her.
So close. Do we have to give it to her?
Ding, ding,
I think
ding,
so,
ding,
yeah.
Dave says yes. Dave
Talk
says
about
yes.
True romance, right?
Think about true romance.
I thought I was looking
romance.
For
okay.
it.
When
I know,
you
right,
go
Tony?
Up, down, jump around, think about true romance. You did get the true romance, though, right?
And then she said, yeah. So she did it.
All right, Tony, you get the tickets, a pair of tickets to Rick Springfield with special guest Loverboy and the Romantics on July 3rd. It's part of the Grand Victoria Casino and Elgin Summer Concert Series. You'll hear the hits like Jesse's Girl and Don't Talk to Strangers. Get tickets online at grandvictoriacasino.com. But you won't have to do that, Tony. You just won a pair. Hold on, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Dave, what were you going to sing for us?
No. I'm just happy for Tony.
If there was one of those bands you were going to go see, Dave, which one would it be? Romantics, Loverboy, or Rick Springfield? Who would you want to see the most?
You know who they all are.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know who they all right. are. They're probably Romantics.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Name one other song by the Romantics besides What I Like About You.
We can give you a hint.
Okay.
It has to do with your sleep.
I'm trying to be talking in my sleep.
Wait, how does it go?
I see the...
I
hear the secrets that you keep, right?
When you're talking in your sleep.
Yeah, see?
The secrets that you keep when you're talking...
Those guys had the hair.
Dave.
They had quite the hairdos. Romantics.
Way to go in it.
Nice job.
I'd say we give the tickets.
To Dave? Tony, we're sorry. We're sorry, Tony. Go buy your own. Dave gets some.
No, I want it. I'm the one who gave Tony the tickets.
I think
just remember
Dave's
that.
The fourth opening act. I think Dave comes on before the Romantics. It goes Romantics, Loverboy, Rick Springfield. I think Dave first.
He warms up the crowd.
Yes.
And then the three acts come on. The three bands.
Okay.
He's
in. He's in. And he'll wear shorts, just like tomorrow at the Lyle Eyes of the Skies Festival.
He's got
you
legs.
Made a promise of shorts for that remote tomorrow.
No, it was so not a promise.
It sounded like a promise at 5 a.m. You've really softened as the moments have gone on.
It did sound like a little bit of a promise.
It was a bit of a promise. The morning show will be at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival tomorrow, 6 to 10 a.m. Free parking, free admission during the broadcast. You have a chance to win a free balloon ride during the broadcast.
With Andrea.
Permitting, with Andrea, while she does the big story. Rides will also be available to attendees for a fee if weather allows. So it'll be a very exciting. Dave, are they going to get you up in a balloon tomorrow?
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they'll have a special glass balloon so Dave can show off the legs as they go up in the air.
Like plexiglass?
Yeah. Be like
now,
the sky deck
that
in a balloon.
Think about it, maybe shorts aren't such a good idea.
Oh, come on, Dave. Show them off. You've been working at it for a long time. Okay, news is next, 720 WGN.
Before we leave you, we just want to update you on our developing story here this morning at Joint Base Andrews outside of Washington in Maryland, the home of Air Force One. Reports of an active shooter are video coming in closed circuit from ABC News and affiliate there, WJLA in Washington, shows people coming out of the base now with their hands up. The Defense Department has said that this is not a drill. There is something going on. They're trying to figure out what it is. However, there was a drill earlier this morning for an active shooter situation. So far, no injuries are reported, but the word is coming back from the Defense Department.
Wait, Steve, hold on. I want to make sure that we heard you correctly. Mm-hmm. Earlier this morning, there was a drill?
They were having an active shooter drill there at the base earlier, and while they were doing that, a report came in to the base that there was actually a shooter, an active shooter. And so that turned it into a real-world situation, as the Defense Department put it. They are now going through the base, through especially the medical facility there, where this is located. This is where the report about the shooter was, to see if there was, in fact, a shooter, if there is still a shooter there. And so that's going to possibly take a while. This is a serious situation because the head of the Department of Homeland Security is testifying right now on Capitol Hill before the Senate Judiciary Committee. He interrupted his testimony briefly to say that he did get confirmation there was a real-world situation going on there. So that's what we have. People coming out again with their hands up in the air, lots of people with guns running around. But so far, no shooting heard, no one is injured. And it's going to take a while before they figure out exactly what's going on.
Here's another facet to this, too. Vice President Biden was supposed to fly out of Joint Base Andrews today for an event in Ohio. He is being currently held at the Naval Observatory. And Steve Grzanich has been referring to this as Joint Base Andrews, which it is. And I know a lot of people are texting.
I've been saying, wait a minute, I always heard Andrews Air Force Base my whole life.
Joint Base Andrews is the facility that we're referring to in Maryland. And a couple of years ago, Andrews Air Force Base and the Naval Air Facility in Washington, they merged to form Joint Base Andrews. So it is still referred to by some as Andrews Air Force Base, but it is Joint Base Andrews, which houses, as Steve has been saying, Air Force One, the two Air Force Ones, which of course President Obama and the President always flies to.
Right, and all of the Air Force, all of the executive branch planes are there as well. Air Force Two, the Secretary of State's airplane is there. So it's a highly secure situation. If you've ever seen any documentaries on this place, it is a fortress. And so the idea that somebody could come onto that base who was not supposed to be there and start shooting is just unimaginable.
Yeah, it's an indication that that if there is this person on base, that they likely had clearance or they had the papers, the credentials to be there.
And before we even get that far, we really don't know. I mean, Steve, I find it interesting that you're saying that there was a drill, an active shooter drill going on when the report came out that there actually was a shooter. So there's still a possibility that when this all gets said and done, maybe there was some confusion here, right?
Well, it's possible, but it's also, I'm monitoring in my ear right now one of the investigative reporters for ABC News, Brad Garrett, who's a former FBI agent. He says there are a couple of scenarios here. Either, yes, there's miscommunication that something, you know, the wires got crossed, that generally there are people, when they have these drills, the service people are wearing white hats. That's, they don't tell everybody that it's happening, but it's clear that the people have white hat. It's clear that they're doing a drill. But he says it is possible because there are some that with live, obviously live rounds, that someone could have done something during that. So a member of the armed services could have started doing something. I don't know.
On the Joint Base Andrews website, their own website, they have a breaking news alert about reports of an active shooter. And from 11th Wing Public Affairs, so their own public affairs, part of it says the base was scheduled to conduct an active shooter exercise. However, reports of a real world active shooter situation were reported at Malcolm Groh Medical Facility.
Let's go to WJLA. There's a witness on the scene.
Around the facility in a very non-exigent way. You're also, local officials from Prince George's County have put out a statement that's being aired here locally that no units additional to those that were already assigned for the drill are responding to the base, and that applies to the fire department as well. You're not seeing, you know, a stream of ambulances heading to the location, you know, rolling lights and sirens, which is something you would typically expect to see if you had a mass casualty incident going on. So we just have to let this sort of play out and get the facts as the situation unfolds.
This is live coverage from ABC News. I'm Aaron Katursky. Joint Base Andrews outside Washington, D.C., the home of Air Force One, is currently on lockdown. Everybody has been told to shelter in place after reports of an active shooter at the Malcolm Groh Medical Facility. These reports have not been confirmed. Initially, there was supposed to be some kind of drill going on, some kind of exercise. But then there were reports of what Joint Base Andrews called a real-world situation. That has not been confirmed. Prince George's County, Maryland, said it is not sending any units to Joint Base Andrews. The only first responders there are the ones who were on scene to begin with, those in military gear, some officers, canine units. We've seen some people coming out of the medical building with their hands in the air under the guard of these apparent soldiers and officers, but then we have not heard any confirmation that there are actually shots being fired.
Aaron Katursky at ABC News in New York, live coverage there, Matt, as we'll continue to monitor that. We're watching also video of people coming out. They're allowing people to come out. Each one of these people that are coming out of the base, they're all in military gear, some of them doctors. They're all being frisked. The dogs and security personnel, heavily armed, are taking this very seriously to make sure that no one is active shooting.
Well, there. And you can imagine a situation like this, whether or not there is an active shooter or not, we'll find out soon enough, I imagine. But once somebody thinks there is, and that starts getting spread, whether people are like, no, it's we're doing a drill. Once somebody says active shooter, you think, okay, well, that could happen while we're doing the drill. We have to take that very seriously.
And you have to recall just, I think it was a couple of weeks ago at another Air Force base, they were doing one of these things, and the same thing happened. It took well over 2 or 3 hours for the base to be cleared and checked to make sure that it was nothing. It ended up being nothing. But this kind of thing just happened recently, just a couple of weeks ago.
And it happened at Andrews Air Force Base, too. About a month ago, there was a woman who walked onto the base, and they got it immediately. That wasn't an active shooter situation, but that was at Andrews as well.
Well, you hear these types of things all the time at the White House, jumping the fence. Yep. I mean, small things happen. Big things happen. They have to take these extremely seriously, even if you think, well, it's just confusion. You've got to respond as strongly as you can, right?
Because Matt, let's go back to ABC News. This is Brad Garrett,
investigative reporter. So far, there has been no confirmed threat at Joint Base Andrews, but the shelter-in-place order remains active, and there are still a fair amount of folks responding to this medical facility, the Malcolm Groh Medical Facility at Joint Base Andrews outside Washington, D.C. It's the home of Air Force One. President Obama was nowhere near here, though, at the moment, and there has been so far no threat to be found, although we continue to watch.
We missed it, Brad. There, he was saying that the fact that the Department of Homeland Security Secretary is still testifying and hasn't gotten up and left indicates that, this may not be a serious situation. But you recall after the 9/11 attack, President Bush at the time was reading to school children and continued doing that. So
You know, we'll stay with you and break in as necessary, okay?
We'll cover it.
Thank you, Steve Grzanich. Right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Then Paul Morello from the Greater Chicago Food Depository is in studio. It's very, you know, you might not think about this, but the need through the summer months grows for a certain segment of our population. We'll find out more about that next here on 720 WGN. Steve Cochran Show, Radio 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy coming up in about 40 minutes. Matt Bubala here with you today while Mr. Cochran rests up for the big Lyle Eyes to the Skies remote tomorrow morning. Paul Morello is in studio with us. Paul is with the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Thank you so much for coming in, Paul.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
So you guys just had your big hunger walk last week, and now we're here talking about, you were telling me off the air, and I had never thought of it, during the school year, especially here in Chicago, there's a lot of low-income, underserved kids who get free or discounted meals through their schools. And when they're out of school, they're not there to get those meals. A lot of kids, you were telling me, missing out on a lot of meals this summer.
Yeah, that's one of the big issues during the summer. A lot of people don't expect it, as you said. Out of every 100 children that get free and reduced price breakfast and lunch at school during the school year, only 14% of those kids are accessing summer meals. So the big question is, you know, there's this huge segment of the children's population that isn't eating those meals. So are they getting meals? And the Food Depository and other organizations are stepping in during the summer to try to fill that gap.
How do you find those kids during the summer? Because they're not coming to a central location like a school. So how do you help find those kids and get them some meals?
Yeah, a lot of outreach. So one of the things that the Food Depository does during the summer, we partner with another nonprofit called COFI, Community Organizing and Family Issues. And these teams of COFI members actually go door to door in high need communities, handing out flyers about summer meals, putting door hangers on doors, talking to people. It's really a grassroots effort in a lot of places to get the word out, to let families know, hey, these meals are available. Your kids have food that you can access. You just need to find it.
The website is chicagosfoodbank.org. What's the primary way that Chicagoans can help you guys out? In a lot of our schools, we do little food drives and things like that for the local food pantry. What's the best way we can help support the Greater Chicago Food Depository?
Now, there are so many different things that you can do. One of the things that I suggest during the summer, you know, everybody thinks about food drives during the holiday season. That's mm-hmm. fantastic. We, you know, we love that. The support is incredible. But The need is consistent year-round, so doing a food drive during the summer is a great way to raise awareness. It's a great way to collect some shelf-stable food that can then go right back out into the community. So that's one thing, advocating and, of course, volunteering and donating as well.
Paul, talk about the lunch bus, too. This is a great facet of the depository, too.
Sure. So one of the things that we do during the summer to get those meals to kids in need is a program that we call the lunch bus. And basically what it is a refrigerated vehicle that goes out into the community, stops at 24 different locations, parks, community organizations, churches throughout the summer to hand out free meals to kids. And that's one of the ways that we're filling the gap when those kids don't necessarily have those meals during the school year or during the summer. We're giving them the lunch bus.
You know, there was a threat, and maybe it's going to get solved down here in Springfield today, that there wouldn't be funding, that school wouldn't start again on time in the fall. That would, I imagine, make this even worse for these kids that are able to access these meals when they get to school.
Well, free and reduced price meals during the school year are so important to the families that are using them, the low-income families that are utilizing that service. So any scenario that's going to hinder that access is definitely something to be concerned about, yeah.
You can find out more at chicagosfoodbank.org. The need is year-round. Find out how to do more, how to help out, chicagosfoodbank.org. Paul Morello, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Matt Bubala here with you on Radio 720 WGN, the Steve Cochran Show. And yes, I'm saying radio because that's what we are. Mary Vandeveld up in traffic. Mary, is the mass exodus or the, I'm sorry, I'm going to bring it back now. Steve isn't even in the chair, but has the Chexodus begun? Has everybody started leaving? As Steve Grzanik.
Chexit or whatever he called it?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. The Chexit, he called it during opening bell.
No, not yet.
When do you anticipate the worst time coming? This afternoon? Tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, I don't know. I would say probably this afternoon. I'm going with. But, you know, noon tomorrow, there's always a big bit of an exodus. And I mean, I've left for Wisconsin on Friday afternoon before big holidays, and it's not fun. It's a big mess. So, you know, you never know, but that's usually. And there's going to be more people on the road this year.
Yeah, well, gas prices
because
are good.
Gas prices are good. So, and the weather is going to be great this weekend. So I expect it's going to be a little bit crazy. But this afternoon's going to be rough, I think.
Comedian Jim Jeffries is on the phone, and he's about to tell us about what his great Independence Day plans are. Good morning, Jim. How are you, sir?
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my goodness. Where are we talking to you from?
I'm in bed, in LA.
We're on a bad connection. Hold on. Let's try to reestablish, Jim. We'll try to reconnect with you in just a moment. Jim Jeffries is on tour. You can find him at jimjeffries.com and follow him on Twitter at Jim Jeffries. He's going to be over in the UK in the next couple of weeks. So maybe we'll ask him a little bit about whether or not Brexit will work into his routine coming up here soon. Andrea, are you guys heading out to any fireworks this weekend?
I think I'm a big fan of the city fireworks. Uh-huh. They used to do those. Remember on July 3rd, that used to be the big city celebration.
And now we don't do that anymore. We do Navy Pier fireworks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we do Navy Pier. And the coolest thing about Navy Pier is that they do the fireworks now on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So you get two times a week that you get to
all
watch fireworks.
All summer long, right?
All summer long. So they're going to do them again on Saturday and then on July 4th as well. And I believe Dean Richards is going to be hosting the fireworks celebration for Channel 9. So you can watch on your television. You can watch Dean and then just look out your window. Or just continue to watch on the TV if you don't live worth me.
Exactly. What about Dave? Will you guys get out and enjoy some fireworks?
Yeah, we'll go out in our neighborhood. There's fireworks Sunday night, I believe.
In your neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Do you have to go to a special place? Or
no,
you,
I mean
you
in
just
a park.
The backyard?
Yeah, it's not
okay.
in somebody's
not just
yard.
In your backyard.
No.
You
Although there is some of that too.
A couple
but not
guys
my
with
house.
A couple of M80s
no.
blowing up sewers.
No, yeah,
do you want a bit of fireworks trivia? You know how if you stand on a rooftop in Chicago and on the 4th of July and you look around, you can see all the fireworks displays
mm-hmm. in other towns,
right?
Right.
Do you know which town claims to have the highest fireworks, meaning the tallest? So they will soar above all others.
Naperville.
Arlington Heights.
I'll give you a hint.
Yes.
We're going to be there shortly.
Lyle? Really?
Ooh,
interesting.
Yes. For a time, they said that their fireworks were shot up the highest in the air, so you could see.
Because they shoot them out of a balloon?
Perhaps. I don't want to give too much away.
Dave, I think that's dangerous. I don't think they do that.
Can you imagine the insurance on that?
Yeah, that would be a little rough. That would be a little rough. We're going to be out at Arlington Park. We did this last year. I have friends that live in Arlington Heights, and we didn't actually go to the park and pay for it. We went to a parking deck across the street, and it was awesome.
You know who else goes there?
Who,
every
Dave?
Year? Big O.
Does he?
To the parking deck?
No, Arlington Park for the fireworks.
Right. It'd be great if O was just at the parking deck. Yeah, I saved the $10. I'm out here with you guys.
Hello, Matt. I'm over in the corner.
Orion's probably in a suite with Mr. Duchess. Why? I mean, Orion, you know, has the connections out there.
They do a great job.
It's incredible.
It's incredible.
It was beautiful. I couldn't believe how long it lasted. Yes. So we're headed back there this year. All right. Mr. Jim Jeffries joins us back on the phone now. We think we got a better connection. Hey, Jim, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. You're going to be in, you're performing, I was looking at your website, you're performing throughout the UK for the next couple of weeks. How much does Brexit work into, how much does something that top of mind work into what you'll be doing in front of crowds?
It will probably be with a lot of anger because I'm being paid in pounds while I'm out there. basically Brexit just cost me like 20,000 pounds or something of ticket sales. Yeah, horrible.
Did it really?
But no, of course, you know, I'll talk about it while I'm out there. But with anything, you gotta wait till you get a feel for what the people are feeling out there. You know, it's one thing to look at the news here and to see the left and the right wing media say what's going on there and how they're all feeling about it. But I'll wait and pass judgment until I go out there and talk to my actual friends who are living it. And but I don't think I don't see how it can be a good thing. Just looking at the map of the people who voted it in and didn't vote it out, when you see all the areas that the people that I didn't like are all the ones that voted to stay to exit the EU, and all the people like Londoners who voted to stay in were the people I really, that's where I lived when I was there, so, you know.
So how much, in your general act, Jim, how much do you embrace what's going on in current events? Is it every, whatever it is, I take a temperature of the crowd?
Well, a lot. My new special has some Donald Trump material, has some Bill Cosby material. A lot. Yeah, heavily. I think about 50% of what I do these days is about current events, and 100% of it is about current events in my life, you know, what's going on in my life. I never really write a routine about, you know, I never do what Seinfeld does and write a thing about Pop-Tarts or, you know, or what Jim Gaffigan does and do some jokes about food or what have you. You know, for me, it has to be happening or I don't have the imagination, I guess, to write things out right in front of me.
Well, you know, it's funny, Jim, because so much of real life is not funny sometimes. I mean, I guess you got to find the humor in it, but so much of what's going on in the world is hard to laugh at. Where do you find the joy? What are you laughing about lately?
Well, it's not a matter of finding joy. And there's a difference between, you know, if you want to talk about what happened in Orlando in a comedy routine, you can do it without making fun of the situation or joking about the people who lost their lives or their lifestyle or the gunner or whatever. You can make jokes about the guns. You can make jokes about radicalism. You can make jokes about the people who want to ban Muslims after it happens. There's plenty of other avenues, you know, that I see humor in anyway, or just you can make jokes about the people who are so militant afterwards about their guns that they seem to think that they could have protected the situation if they were dancing in a nightclub drunk with a gun on their hip. They could have saved the day, you know. There's plenty of ways to make fun of something. It doesn't mean that you're seeing the fun in something or you're seeing the humor in it as such. It's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's the same reason that the Daily Show exists. It's the same reason that John Oliver exists. The same reason that Samantha Bee exists. You know, it's. I believe comics can almost these days give the news in a more succinct, less biased way than the actual news can. We're the only people who aren't on a channel with someone in our pockets.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's interesting, Jim. And how being a comedian today in today's day and age versus, say, 20 years ago, when there are people, like you mentioned, like John Oliver and Jon Stewart and everybody doing a take on news in their comedy, has that really changed things for stand-up comedians? Is there an expectation of certain topics being covered versus what would be done 20 years ago?
Well, it has changed on a more mass scale, but there was always people 20 years ago that were talking about the news or social commentary as such. You know, George Carlin always gave a social commentary. He always talked about religion and our rights and where we're going. And then before that, you had, you know, obviously Lenny Bruce, and then you had Bill Hicks somewhere in there. And, you know, but now it's televised in TV form a lot more than, you know, the most political comedy on television used to get was sometimes on SNL they would make a, during the news bit, they would make, you know, some political stuff where they would impersonate a president and, you know, they'd get it through in sketches more. But now people are doing it a bit more straight down camera. And, you know, on a week-to-week basis, rather than what Carlin was doing, which was holding a mirror up to society over, you know, the course of years. You know, like, his news telling would be one special every couple of years that would sort of encompass what the mood of the country or the world was in at the time.
Jim Jefferies is on tour. Now, you're not. I'm looking at the website. I don't have you coming to Chicago anytime soon. Jim, when can we look forward to seeing you again here?
I can tell you this. We're booked in at the Chicago Theater in the new year sometime. It's just the gig hasn't been announced yet. But only last week we booked it in.
Excellent.
So we are coming to Chicago.
Excellent. We'll stay tuned to jimjefferies.com. Hopefully you can swing by when you get to town.
Thank you. That'd be great.
Thank you, Jim. Safe travels. Jim Jefferies. Find him at jimjefferies.com and online at Jim Jefferies on social media.
And this hour is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation, so we thank them for that.
Thank them very much for that. Steve Cochran Show, Radio 720 WGN. Just a couple minutes left. Matt Bubala sitting in for Steve today. Thank you very much for hanging out with us this morning, everybody. We appreciate it. Tomorrow morning, the Morning Show crew live at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, part of the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. Andrea Darlis, you were just telling me off the air. So Steve Dale comes in once every couple weeks, once a month.
Yeah, it comes in once a month.
With a dog for adoption.
And we have a great track record here on the show because every dog that Steve has brought in has been adopted. So we had the Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control in this week with this puppy. It was a terrier, about a year old, little less than a year, maybe 11 months old. Mm-hmm. His name was Jimmy. Mm-hmm. This dog is adorable. And I keep looking at pictures of the dog thinking, okay, if nobody adopts him, I'm going to adopt the dog.
He totally should.
It's so cute.
So you're trying to reach out to Steve Dale right now to find out
if
the dog
was
adopted?
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I just,
you know,
love
Andrea,
this puppy.
I can't believe you didn't scoop him up right away. What is our biggest boss's name here?
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
It was like a sign,
and
you
then,
mean?
Yeah, you adopt. Yeah. Well, I mean, how does Jimmy someday bring you in to fire you? You bring in the dog and go, really? I adopted the
look,
dog?
Jimmy.
Look, little Jimmy's going to go without?
Right.
Jimmy?
Hopefully that wouldn't happen, but if it
be
did,
locked
it,
in forever.
I could have little Jimmy. Yeah. Little Jimmy to talk to big Jimmy.
Yeah. And just give him a little wet kiss, and then he's, oh, Andrea, you're fine.
You're in. You're fine.
And it's out.
There he goes.
Well, you didn't adopt the dog, Dave. What did you do to help
out? I already
out?
Have it all. I played with the dog.
You did.
Jimmy and I bonded.
Dave does. Dave gets on the floor and rolls around and plays with these dogs. Very cute. Very cute.
Poor Dave. How long is Dave? Dave, you've been doing the Morning Show here for almost 20 years?
Well, if you count the first time I did, it was 32 years ago.
32 years ago. Holy cow. And you're just such a good sport. Let's take a moment to thank
Dave.
It all Dave
rolls Bennett off me.
For being a good sport. That's
it all
a,
rolls
it's amazing.
Off me, Matt.
Ah. No, you are a good sport. I'm kidding. He's like my brother. You know, that's why we could tease each other like this.
Well,
hey, we do have some good news, though. I wanted to tell you,
good.
Matt. We've been talking about the budget all morning. I know Patty Vasquez is down there. We are told, WGN-TV now reporting, that the House Executive Committee took only about 10 minutes to vote on those bills, and the House is now caucusing. They could be voting. The entire House could vote on those bills very shortly. Then, of course, the Senate takes up the matter, and then if Governor Rauner signs it, we could have a stopgap budget deal in place soon.
It's so funny. We're getting so excited for a stopgap funding bill
that
really does nothing except allow the road construction not to grind to a halt and schools to open in the fall.
Schools will stay open in the fall, yeah.
Because I think
the
politicians said, wait a minute, if they stop working on the roads, the people that are really angry driving will be really, really angry driving.
Yeah, road rage incidents will go up. We don't want that to happen.
Well, can you imagine? And that one, the one project is the Jane Byrne Interchange project that was being threatened. to halt. Yeah. And that is huge. And that's supposed to be done at the end, in the middle of winter, you know, this year. And we have all been
any of these construction
that
projects that are reducing lane usage right now. I think, Dave, you said there was one project in your town that's got something down to one lane right now, and they were threatening to have to shut that down. So that would leave you with one lane open and some thoroughfare.
I don't know if they were going to take down the... Well, they couldn't because the one lane is all
they already
torn
started
up.
Working. Yeah, they already started working.
Listen to our first world problems. We couldn't get to work on our whole state situation.
19 major projects.
You've got to be able to do it. All right, Bill and Wendy next, 720 WGN.